verify that they have, I didn't hear that on the record, that they have worked this out, since in my mail file here, there's a lot of response of dentists who are saying this is a bad bill.
Senator Carter, Senator Messerly, you may remember at the hearing we had a month or so ago, that there was testimony, extensive testimony on both sides of this bill. After that hearing, we met with Joanne and representatives from the Board of Dentistry to work out a compromise, which is reflected in the Dash 4 amendments, where basically the biggest change from the original bill is for new dentists who are coming out of school, those with less than 5 years' experience, the board will retain control over which exams they will recognize. And so we gave that piece of it up. What we were most concerned about was those experienced dentists, those with at least 5 years of experience who have extensive practice history, and we wanted to be able to bring good, qualified, experienced dentists in without having to go through the testing that you would have to do just coming out of school. And so that's what's still reflected in the Dash 4 amendments. And yes, Senator Messerly, we have the board and the coalition are in agreement on the Dash 4 amendments.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Was OHSU here, and if they're satisfied with this, we've satisfied your concerns.
There's some nods in the back.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions?
No. I'm prepared.
Senator Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to make a statement. I assume you have conveyed this to all the members. And I make that statement because I've had some bad experiences, not from your association, but from other associations in the past, where you work out an agreement here, and I go home, and my constituents say, "What in the world did you do? We sent you a letter."
Senator Fisher, Senator Messerly, with the Oregon Dental Health Coalition, we have conveyed this to all of our members. The Oregon Dental Association is neutral on the bill. They have conveyed that to their members. I'm sure they will convey that if it moves today, that they'll convey that that's what's happening. And they have conveyed the substance of the bill to their members.
Yeah, this is one of the bills that we have worked at length on, back and forth, round across, and up and through and around. I think that roundabout bill that passed the Senate today might be a good definition of the process
of
this particular bill. But, in any event, I'm satisfied myself at this point in time. It's about the best we can work out, at least at this point in time. And there are, as I understand, moves afoot to standardize things across the United States with dental tests and things like that that will make it easier to judge what dentists know and how they're tested and the whys and wherefores of them applying and get licenses here in Oregon. And would also allow, I guess, for reciprocity from Oregon dentists other places too. So
that's
a good goal. Yes, sir.
But I feel that Senator Messerly would be clear. I think it's important for him to know that when he goes back home, his individual dentist, and because of the board of dentistry is neutral on this, might not necessarily be satisfied, so he should know that.
I understand.
Senator Fisher, Senator Carter, the board of dentistry, Joanne representative, is supportive.
Okay.
So it's the Oregon Dental Association who's neutral.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes, Senator.
Just really quickly, I'm missing a little bit of a part of my packet on this. Just to make sure, the Dash 3s are going to provide the Board of Dentistry the option to accept. That is not rescinded by anything in 4. That will be staying intact.
Senator Fisher, Senator George, the only change in the Dash 4 amendments is on page 3, and it has to do with the OHSU portion of this, where they changed the language from limited access to dental hygienists to dental hygiene instructors.
That is Dash 4. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm okay. Yes, Senator Carter.
I'm trying to give you a motion.
Hearing no more discussion, I'll take that motion.
Move the Dash 4 amendments.
It'd be 8-4.
Oh, to
8-4.
A4 amendment. Wow.
Senator Carter moves the dash A4 amendment to House Bill 2469A.
That's right.
Further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, move House Bill 2469A as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Senator Carter moves House Bill 2469-A as amended, or A as amended, to the Senate floor with a two-pass recommendation. Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. I will carry Senate House Bill 2469A. We'll close the session on House Bill 2469.
Mr. Chairman, before my visitors leave, I always like to introduce those professors in education who come and visit us and bring their students. Mr. Michael Sundleitner is a colleague of mine, but former, now that I'm no longer there, with Portland Community College and two of his students. And this is how he makes sure that his students have experience and come in to see their government in action. I'd like to welcome them today before they leave.
Good. I see you waited till you stood up and were the center of attention.
Thank you.
Thank you for visiting us today. Senator Shields, would you like to vote on the previous two issues, the diabetes, the data, and...
And what was the other one?
The other one was amended 568 that put back in the pharmacy post sign and got that bill straightened out.
Yeah. He'd like to vote on
that. I would take a motion to suspend the rules.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Move to suspend the rules so that Senator Shields can vote on the bills by which he was absent.
Okay, I will reopen the work session on. Is there further discussion? Any opposition? Motion carries. I will reopen the work session on Senate Bill 769, and before Senator Shields votes, I do have a letter of support from the Oregon Medical Association that I wish to put in the record. Give that to staff. And Senator Shields, how do you vote?
Aye.
Senator Shields votes aye, and that just helps us carry the bill unanimously. And now the work session on Senate Bill 769 and reopen work session on Senate Bill 568. Senator Shields, how do you vote?
Aye.
Senator Shields votes aye. And I'll enter that into the record and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 568. Now I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill, House Bill 226A. Staff, will you?
Thank you, Senator. House Bill 2226A comes to us from the House Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs. The bill allows graduate of non-accredited dental programs to qualify for an Oregon dental instructor's license if the graduate is licensed to practice dentistry in another state or Canadian province and has a two-year certificate in advanced dental instruction from an accredited dental school. If the graduate is not licensed to practice in another state, the graduate must have either passed a clinical examination recognized by the board or be certified to recognize dental specialty. This bill was amended in the House to provide that if an applicant is not licensed to practice in another state, the applicant has either passed a clinical examination recognized by the Board of Dentistry for initial licensure or is certified in a recognized dental specialty.
Thank you very much. I would call Jack Clinton from OSHU School of Dentistry and Joanne Bones, Board of Dentistry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Joanne Bones, Executive Director of the Board of Dentistry. House Bill 2226 was originally a bill introduced by the board in the House to correct a one-word error that was made in a piece of legislation last session. In the process of introducing this bill, the school asked that we join with them and support them in introducing further changes to the dental faculty licensure so that they can more easily recruit dental faculty at the school. And the board does support the changes to this bill that are reflected in 2226A. Oregon is fortunate to have a dental school within its borders. There are only 54 accredited dental schools in the United States. We know that a high percentage of our dental school graduates stay in Oregon and practice here. If they don't right away, they return. We know from our database at the board office that almost 70% of the licensed dentists in Oregon graduated from OHSU School of Dentistry. The dental school faculty not only train new dentists, but they train future academicians and perform important research that ultimately impacts the oral health and therefore the general health and welfare of the public. The proposed changes to this dental faculty statute will enhance the School of Dentistry's ability to attract qualified faculty at a time when there is a critical shortage in recruiting dental faculty throughout the United States. The changes that the school is suggesting are in line with a study that was done, I hope Dr. Clinton can name it, that was done by the schools, and changes to be suggested across states for helping to recruit basically foreign-trained, that is, non-American Dental Association-trained dentists to come and teach in our schools. We feel that the dental education that's provided at OHSU is critical to the well-being and the access to dental care for Oregonians. I urge your support of this bill.
Thank you. Dr. Clinton?
Thank you. For the record, I'm Jack Clinton. I'm Associate Dean for Clinical Affairs at the School of Dentistry. Senator Fisher, members of the committee, Joanne's done a nice job of summarizing what this is all about. The distinguishing feature, I think, about this bill is that we're looking at people that have taken their pre-doctoral training in a foreign country and then come to the United States and got an advanced certificate or a specialty license within the United States. And in order to do that, you have to pass through a graduate training in an accredited program by the American Dental Association. So they do have an American credential beyond their pre-doctoral credential from some other country. We have had a number of these folks on our faculty in the past and continue to have them teaching our graduate and our specialty training programs, and what we're asking here is to allow them to be licensed so that they can participate in our faculty dental practice, and then, of course, to continue to recruit from that field.
Okay. Any questions? That concludes our testifying list here. Hearing no questions, I'm going to say thank you very much, and I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 2226A.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I have an amendment. Move House Bill 2226A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Carter moves House Bill 2226A to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Further discussion? Objections? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Do we have a carrier? Senator Messerly will carry House Bill 2226A. Thank you very much, Senator, and we'll close. work session on House Bill 2226A and open a public hearing on House Bill 2491.
I'd staff to introduce the bill.
House Bill 2491 allows state offices for children, for service to children and families in conjunction with local commissions on children and families to establish community-based foster care demonstration projects, declares emergency effective on passage. This bill comes from the House Committee on Health and Public Advocacy. As some background, public child welfare in the U.S. is reporting the experience of the crisis. There's four major characteristics. The number of children removed from their families increasing at a high rate due to abuse and neglect. Overloaded systems are unable to safe return kids to their families or find permanent homes. The number of capable foster families has dropped nationally, and children of color are vastly overrepresented in the children's welfare system. Community-based welfare care is built on the premise that comprehensive services for children and families must be rooted in the community from which children come, and must have considerable community involvement. Another goal of community-based foster care is to help children and their natural parents connect to community-based organizations and support services in one place, which assists families to continue accessing services after reunification. The Oregon State Office for Children and Families, or SCF, is currently administering a pilot project called Family-to-Family Foster Care, with a grant from the Annie B. Casey Foundation. Family-to-family is a family-centered approach that places children with caring, capable relatives or with another family within the child's own community. The program has four goals: identifying, working closely with foster families in the community from which foster children are usually drawn, training the foster family to work closely with birth parents, family-to-family recognizing cultural differences, and decreasing the number of children placed in institutional care. In the House side, SCF testified that this House Bill 2491 supports the agency's efforts to meet the needs of children and families in crisis.
Thank you. We have Representative Carlson with us and invite her to come forward here for testimony.
Thank you, Chair Fisher, members of the committee. So wonderful to be on the Senate side here now. Bill, this is great. I'm Representative Janet Carlson, House District 32, and just wanted to share with you a little bit of background about House Bill 2491. In 1994, my husband and I became foster parents of two boys, ages 9 and 11. I remember the day vividly, even though it was 7 years ago, because it changed the course of my life. I was coming down the stairs on a Saturday morning, doing laundry, which is my custom on Saturday mornings, and these two boys, who were playmates of my two sons, who were the same age at the time, were playing Nintendo in the living room, and I overheard the older boy tell my son that they were not going to be going to their home that night because they were going to be going to a shelter. I had known the family just to the extent that we had dropped kids off and picked kids up and really didn't know what was going on in their lives, but I was really concerned that these two young boys would be spending the night in a shelter. So I called the family and asked if we could perhaps keep the boys at our home while they were able to get their housing stabilized. Well, to make a long story short, 1 week with the boys in our home turned into 9 months, and they ultimately became our foster children. The first 3 months, there was a great deal of uncertainty as this family situation continued to unravel. But in my heart, I knew that this was the right place for these boys. First of all, we were people that they knew and trusted. Second of all, these were children who live in our neighborhood, and they were playmates with my children. And third of all, they could stay in the same school with their teachers and their friends. At the urging of the school counselor and in consultation with our neighbor, who happened to be the director of SCF at the time, we contacted the agency. But I had a great deal of misgivings. First of all, I didn't know whether we would be accepted to be their foster parents. We are two working parents. These two boys were not of our same race, and I knew that SCF tried to place families with parents who were of the same race as the children. And also, with three children of my own, we had five busy lives, and we didn't have a lot of time for what I considered the hoops of becoming a foster parent, the training and the other requirements. Having two foster children, and all of a sudden my family was a family of seven rather than five, had a great impact on us as a family as well. My youngest son is still best friends with the younger boy, and he continues to spend a great deal of time at our home, even though he's not our foster child anymore. My two older children were impacted in the sense that they had to now share their time with their mom, who was now the mother of four children, or five children, excuse me. But also the other thing that happened is I learned up close and personal what the foster care system looks like, all the way from caseworkers to the Citizen Review Board to the court system. And what I learned was, from a very personal level, that there are barriers within the system itself that seem to get in the way of the boys being part of our own family rather than guests in our home. One example is that these two boys were on the Oregon Health Plan. My children, because of my husband's employment, were on Kaiser Permanente. At the time, that meant two different sets of doctors. Another example is that my children, it was summer, and they were taking swimming lessons at a local athletic club. I went to the athletic club and said, could we add these two boys onto our family membership, even for a fee? They said, well, we don't consider foster children part of a family, so you will have to get individual memberships for each of these boys in order to have them come to the club for swimming lessons. And I can go on about the ways that it was very difficult to blend in foster children and make them part of the family. So that experience is what has encouraged me to bring forward House Bill 2491, which allows SDF to establish community-based foster care demonstration projects. The purpose of...
Excuse me, Representative Carlson, I've got to gavel down to the subcommittee for hearing purposes.
Thank you. The purpose...
Forget it.
...of the bill is to keep children in their familiar surroundings and their neighborhood schools. I think that if children are in trauma and taken from their home, the neighborhood provides the one source of stability in the school for those children. Second of all, the purpose is to recruit neighborhood families through service clubs, through faith-based organizations, through neighborhood associations and other community groups to become foster parents. I'm not proposing with this bill that people who are foster parents do not get the training and have the safety precautions, but simply that we try to reach out to other groups to become part of that recruitment process rather than simply relying on the agency. The third is to identify barriers in the system, like the ones that I gave you as an example earlier. And the last is to look at creating a system of support in the community, a neighborhood-based system of support for foster children in trying to find a permanent home for them. Catholic Community Services in our community is already spearheading a project with Marion County Services to Children and Families, and we recently learned that the Casey Family Foundation of Seattle will be able to provide some resources for that project. We also understand there's two similar projects in Multnomah County. So given this legislative direction, the bill gives legislative direction to SCF to continue pursuing this course. And As Mr. Prokopian mentioned, SCF supported the bill. They were in the House side when we had testimony, and I distributed the letter from them that we heard on the House side when they testified. This other letter that you received is from Jim Seymour from Catholic Community Services. He was intending to be here today, but he had child care issues and could not stay. So his printed testimony is before you, and I'll let you read that on your own. He also had a video, and I don't know.
I will enter that into the record here.
Great. And if you have time, it's a 9-minute video. If you are so inclined, if you think that you like the bill and would like to not take the time, I'll leave that to your discretion and I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
I just want to applaud them for this bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's created.
You wish to see the video?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering, will we get to our agenda?
Well,
it's your pleasure.
We will try.
It's your pleasure, what I'm saying, if you had the time.
Senator Shields.
Why don't we try to view it in our own offices?
Okay.
Save the time.
Could you make that available to us?
We can surely.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm also, do we have Kevin George? Do you wish to... All right, Kevin George, Assistant Program Manager, Foster Care and Family-Based Services Unit for the State Offices for Church Services to Children and Families, has entered a statement of support here in the form of a letter from the Department of Human Services. Thank you very much. Having no one further to testify, I'm going to close the public hearing, open work session on House Bill 2226. excuse me, 2491.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Carter.
Move House Bill 2491 to the floor for the due pass recommendation.
Senator Carter moves House Bill 2491 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? No objection. Clerk, call or roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Senator Shields said he will carry the bill. And Senator George, do you wish to join us in voting aye for House Bill 2491?
I would love to do that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Shields volunteered to carry it, so we got you back here just in time. I will note that Senator Mesrilli is excused. He wasn't going to be able to be with us at all, but they canceled airline flights into Coos Bay this morning. And so instead of going down there for a meeting, he's on a conference call probably for the rest of the time we're here. So he got saved a trip, but we still lost him for better than half of our day here today. So he's excused. Closer. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2491 and go into a short recess before we have to round up Senator Yee before we start work on Senate Bill 659.